And as I knew we have a special speaker here with us this morning. And as he was sharing in Sunday school this morning, I was reminded of a quote from D.L. Moody, who, as he actually founded a church in Chicago, started off by starting a Sunday school ministering to street kids. And he said, "When I go on Sunday morning, I go bringing bread in both hands. In one hand, I bring the bread of man, because they won't listen if they're hungry. And in the other hand, I bring the word, the bread of God," meaning the scriptures, because he was concerned not with just feeding hungry people, but with reaching their souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeing true and lasting change. And as I heard Phil this morning in Sunday school talking about Union Gospel's mission and desire, not just to feed people, but to reach people with the gospel and to see lives transformed, I was greatly encouraged. It's easy when we see a great need to try and alleviate the suffering and get so busy alleviating people's physical challenges that we forget that those things are caused by a deeper spiritual brokenness that must be addressed. And for others, it's easy to ignore the physical challenges along the way and just, you know, I'm going to give them the gospel and let everything else kind of fall out, and there's a balance to be had in all of that. So I'm up here, actually, I need to quit talking. I'm up here to introduce our speaker today. Most of you know him far better than I do because of the long relationship our church has had with him, but Phil is the director of Union Gospel Mission. He's here to open the scriptures for us today and to share what the Lord has laid on his heart. So, brother, I'm asking for you to come, and I'd like to pray for you, and then you are free. As long as you're done by time prayer meeting starts at 6.
Oh, great.
Okay. You're good to go.
Good.
Or everybody leaves, whichever one comes first. All right?
Okay.
Let me pray for you, brother, and then, Father, it is not a small thing to stand in front of your people and to open your word and to say, "Thus saith the Lord." And so I humbly ask for my brother here that your spirit might rest upon him, giving power to his words. God, we don't want to hear from a man. We want to hear from you, from the pages of your word. And so we humbly ask that you speak through your servant and that we would have soft hearts and attentive minds to receive the message that you've laid on his heart to share with us. And so, Lord God, of the word of the scriptures, we humbly ask that you speak, Lord. For we, your people, are listening. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks, Tyler. Hey, it's good to be with you. I was wondering if anyone's going to be in the balcony. And there are some people up there. Yeah, good. Hey, it's always good to visit and be here with you. I'm going to do something this morning that's really out of line, and you're going to wonder after that pastor's prayer why I'm doing what I'm doing. But I celebrated my daughter's 40th birthday last night. Family flew in, and we had a big celebration, and got up at 4 this morning to take one of them to the airport, so I'm wide awake. You know, I'm ready to go. You know, there were some questions. We did a trivia on my daughter, and I was proud to say I won. I guess I knew her the best. I don't know, but I won the trivia. There was a couple questions they asked, and one of them I'm going to have you do as an exercise, and you're going to look at me and go, "What happened to this guy? I thought I came to church this morning." But when I'm done, you'll know why I did what I did, okay? Is that okay? So, first of all, I kind of have a hard time when it's just one guy speaking and y'all sit and look at me and listen to me talk. So you're going to get engaged right now, okay? Now, I know this is really a scary exercise, okay? I want you to turn to the person. They asked my daughter this question. If you could be any appliance in a kitchen, what would you be? So I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them what you would choose and why. Would you do that a minute? Do that. What appliance would you be? Okay? Okay, I heard some laughter. Okay, how many of you picked refrigerator? Yeah, usually that's the number one thing, right? Yeah, right on. How many picked microwaves? Okay, all the men's hands went up. Not one woman. Yeah, you could. Yeah, the quick one. Okay, now, how many picked coffee? Yeah, that was it. That's what my daughter picked. I was shocked. You know, Carol, she has a blender. She makes her drink every morning. But coffee, yeah, that was been the number one thing, too, beyond refrigerator. That's what she picked. She was asked another question. Where you're at in your life at age 40, would you choose to go back or forward? Isn't that an interesting question? Back or forward? The more I pondered that and thought about it, I thought of how many of us, if we had to do do-overs or what if, what would we do different? Have you ever thought about that? Think about that this morning, because that's what I want to talk about. What if? What if the people in the story that we read this morning had not done what they chose to do? How different would their lives have been? And how different would our lives have been? One of the things over the years that I've thought about, because as I look out here, there's some of you that have been going to church a long time. Now, I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. Hey, I was excited to hear you're having prayer meeting tonight. And we did have Sunday school where I went to church too. And then I went Wednesday night. I've heard a lot of Bible stories, but what happens the more that you read the Bible and you know the story, you kind of tune out, right? Because you know the end of the story, right? Am I true? Or is that just me that does? Yeah, good. You're with me. What's your name? Levi is with me. He's heard these stories and he tunes out once he knows it. Levi, this morning you can't tune out on me because we're going to read a story. Here's what I want you to do. I think the scripture comes alive when we place ourselves in the story as if we were there and we begin to ask ourselves questions about what was going on. And I think all of us in our journey of life find ourselves somewhere in every story in the scripture. We don't know the end, do we? We don't know the end. We're in the middle of the story. So what I want to do, by the way, Pastor, you said I'd go as long as I wanted, even into tonight. I'm looking around. This church doesn't have a clock in it. Oh, there it is. So let me ask you, not the pastor, what time does he finish? What he's done. What time is that normally? That's what I'm asking. There's crickets. It's silent in here. Pastor, what time do you normally finish? Okay. Because I got two things I can do, and I'm trying to decide which one I want to do, because I don't know. I was given instruction that I had 30 minutes. Does your pastor normally preach 30 minutes? There's someone shaking their head. They said no. Okay, I'm going the full bore then this morning. We're rocking and rolling. Open your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to start with the story of Philip. Now, why Philip? Because that's my name. Okay? How many other Philips in here? Any? Whenever I meet a Philip, I ask him one question. How's your name spelled? Why do you think I ask him that? A lot of Phillips have two L's. And I tell them, if it's two L's, you're non-biblical. Who named you? Okay? And then I get, you know, whatever. But Philip, in verse, I believe, John chapter 1, we want to start in verse 43 in your Bibles. And I love to hear those pages of the scriptures. We're going to start. And it says, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he what? He found Philip, and he said to him, two words, follow me. Two words. I want to start there and say, do you realize that God finds you? Not just Philip, you. And he seeks after you. And I believe he would say the same thing to you that he said to Philip, follow me. What was Philip's choice? He could have followed, or he could have done whatever he was doing at the time. And it says, Philip was from the town of Bethsaida. where Andrew and Peter lived. Okay? Now, I don't know why towns are important in the stories, but I had an interesting encounter with your pastor this morning because I had heard that he was from Canada. And so when I shared that, he was quick to tell me he was not from Canada. So towns are important, aren't they? If you want to be a pastor in Colfax, you don't want to be from Canada. You want to be from Hunters, Washington. Okay? So anyway, here's what happens next. It says Philip was from the town of Bethsaida, and he went and found who? Nathanael. By the way, that's what I named my firstborn son, Nathanael. And he told him, we have found the man whom Moses wrote about in the law, and the prophets also wrote about him, and it is who? Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. But then Nathanael says this, wait a minute, Philip, can anything good come out of Canada? wrong passage. And Philip said to him what? Come and see. Now this is fascinating to me what happens next in this story. Are you kind of envisioning yourself there watching this whole thing? And at least Nathanael was willing to listen to Philip and go and see. By the way, this is the passage that the Billy Graham Association uses to encourage people to invite people to the crusade. They say, be a Philip, go find a Nathanael, bring him. Bring people to church, bring people to events so they can hear and find the Messiah. Now, before I get to Nathanael, what's interesting is, stop and realize for a minute what happened to Philip because he followed Jesus. You know, most of us are familiar with the story of the Ethiopian that he led to Christ, but in the book of Acts it tells Philip did many miracles. Philip was an evangelist, and many people came to know Christ because of Philip. If Philip had not followed Jesus, he would have never experienced all that God had for him. I often wonder, what would he have experienced had he not that day followed Jesus? Again, what if in our own lives we do not follow Jesus? Now here's Nathanael. What does Jesus say to Nathanael? He says, Nathanael was coming to him. The old King James says, here's a man in whom there is no guile. My interpretation here says, he is truly an Israelite. There is nothing false in him. You know what I think's interesting here? Stop a minute. If Jesus just appeared right now and came and met you, what would he say about you? What would he say about you? Now, what's interesting, this is probably the highest compliment that could be paid to someone. What happens when people compliment us a lot of times? Oh, who are you talking about? You know? But what does Nathanael do? He doesn't say, that's not me. So to me, it says a lot about who Nathanael was. He was a man of character, and he recognized. And Nathanael says to him what? How did you what? Know me. How did you know me? Well, let me remind you, when Jesus sees us, he knows us. There's no surprises. And then we go on the story. Jesus answered, I saw you when you were under the fig tree before Philip even came and told me about you. Then Nathanael said to him, Jesus, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now, if you read that story, you got to ask the question, what? What happened under the fig tree? So if I ask you, I remember asking a person at work, what do you think happened under the fig tree? You know what he told me? He said, I think he had a dream. What are your thoughts? You know what my thought is? I think he does what a lot of us do. There's those times in our life we say, God, if you're real, would you just do this? And I think Nathanael said, you know, we've been hearing that a Messiah is supposed to be showing up. Would you just reveal yourself to me, God? And when you tell that to God and it's only you and God, guess what happens when he says, you were under the fig tree when you were looking for me? Wow, the lights go on, right? And right away, Nathaniel, at least that's what I think. It could have been something else. I don't know. But he says, surely you are God. Now, this interesting thing to me as we continue this story, let's go to the Gospel of Luke and pick up where the story continues. And you go to Luke chapter 5. And we're going to start at the beginning of that. And in this continuation of this story, we have one day Jesus was standing beside Lake Galilee. Many people were pressing in all around him to hear the word of God, and Jesus saw two boats at the shore of the lake that the fishermen had left and were washing their nets. And Jesus got into one of the boats that belonged to who? Simon. Now, I just want us to go and put ourselves inside the story once again. Not just read it, but picture the setting. First of all, Simon was willing to do what? He was willing to take something that he had and share it with Jesus and let him use it. Why do you think Jesus chose to get in a boat and go out into the lake and speak? Have you ever thought about why? I'll give you a hint. What would happen if I shut this mic off? You wouldn't be able to hear me as well, would you? Some of you would go, speak up. Well, if you've ever been around water, what does water do? You can hear a long way. People don't realize it when they're out in their boats and you're on the shore. You hear their whole conversation. They don't have a clue, you know? So that was why. And so you can picture this. He's sitting there and he's preaching. Now, I've often asked, what was he preaching? Matthew tells us that he was speaking about the kingdom and challenging them. Doesn't give us much more detail, but he's sitting there and he's preaching a message. Now, in this setting, as we read on, it says, Simon, Master, we have worked hard all night trying to catch fish, and we caught nothing. Nothing. A big Zippo. How many fishermen do I have here? One, two, three, four. None in the balcony. Oh, that's right. There's not a lot of lakes around Colfax. I'm serious. Five fishermen in the church? I'm surprised. Oh, that's right. You guys are farmers. You don't have time to fish. That's right. Okay. Now, and he said, we fished all night and caught nothing, but you're telling us, put your nets in the water. So guess what? We'll go ahead and we'll do it. So he's been preaching. And then he tells them, and by the way, they fished all night. They're over there fixing their nets. And now they're getting ready for the next night. He says, go out and put them in. And it says, they called their partners to the other boat to come help them. And guess what happened? They filled both boats so full of fish, they were almost sinking. I got to tell you a fish story. Can you relate to this moment? I have a memory that goes back over 50 years ago. My mom was a youth pastor, and she wasn't a youth pastor. She just helped in the youth department. And so as a little guy your age, I got to go with the youth, and we went to fish at a lake. And we sat on the dock, and we sat there, nothing, nothing. And someone said, Mom, will you get us a boat? I have four brothers, three that were there. The youngest wasn't old enough. Will you get us a boat? And this older kid in the youth group, Mom said, okay. I still remember it cost $5 to rent that boat. Now, I'm no young chick, right? I'm an old man. And so $5 was a lot of money back then. And so we rented this boat and we went out in the lake And guess what happened? We landed in a school of fish. And I never will forget it as a kid. As quick as you could put your line out, we caught a fish. And we literally filled the bottom of the boat. And we went back and gave the fish to everyone that was there that day. And the poor kids on the dock go, wow, why didn't we get a boat? You know what I mean? But I will never experience that. And I want you to just hold on to that moment and that story. That was how many years ago? 50 or more years. Okay? Just remember that in this story as we go through it. 50 years. And these guys, their nets were so full that I think one of the gospels says they broke. And they're overwhelmed. And then what's Peter's response? He goes, my Lord and my God. And he bows down. And I think that comes as a result of him truly recognizing that as a result of catching those fish, this is no ordinary person. And it says, when Simon Peter saw what happened, he bowed down and Jesus said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. He and the other fishermen were amazed at how many fish they caught. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, catch this. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be what? Catching men. And when the men brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. It's interesting, in the Gospel of Mark, it says immediately they left it all. Now, can you imagine James and John Zebedee? These guys had a fishing business. You're a farmer. Jesus says, come, and your kid takes off. Whoa, wait a minute. I'm getting ready to retire. Whoa, where are you going? And they're gone. Now, I just want you to pause and think a minute. Where did I start this morning? What if? What if Peter, James, John, Nathaniel, Philip had not said, I'm going. I'm all in. So let's turn the clock forward. What happened in those men's lives for the next 3 years? Think about it. Well, we fished all night. It was a hard night. Boring. Now the next 3 years, what's going to happen today? Who's going to get healed? Oh, my goodness. We were drinking the worst wine, and Jesus just brought in new wine. This is incredible. Oh, that man was lame all his life. Look at him walk now. I mean, you know the miracles. You read them. Can you imagine 3 years waking up every day with Jesus and experiencing what they experienced? I can't. 3 years. Think about it. It's incredible. They're no longer out there trying to catch fish, talking about it. All that happens. Great times. But you know what? Let's go now to the book of, go back to the book of John. Go back to the book of John. And let's turn over. I took my marker. Oh, there it is. John chapter 21. They spent 3 years with Jesus. And I kind of envision this as something political, and I dare not speak about political things in the church these days, but let's just suppose you were involved in a political campaign. They're long. In fact, they're already starting to talk about the next presidential election, right? And people are going to invest a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of energy. And there's going to be two candidates that run for president, right? One's going to win and one's going to lose. What's going to happen to the energy of all those that invested thousands of dollars, invested thousands of hours, and their candidate loses? How do they feel? Pretty discouraged, right? So the disciples spend 3 years with Jesus seeing all this beautiful stuff, and then they thought he was going to be the next president, the next leader of Jerusalem. That's what they thought. And then it didn't happen, and they crucify him. So they're sitting here going, what is going on? And we pick it up in chapter 21, 3 years later in the story. 3 years have gone by. And guess where we find the disciples? Let's take a look at it in chapter 21. Later, Jesus showed up and showed himself to his followers, his disciples. This time, he's back at the lake again at Galilee. And this is how he showed up. Who was there? Well, we got Peter, James, Nathaniel, same group, right? Two sons of Zebedee, James and John. And Simon Peter said, I'm going what? Fishing. I'm going fishing. The others said, we will go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, and they fished all night and caught what? Now, would this bring back some memories? I would think so. I would have loved to have been in that boat with those guys that night and heard what they were talking about. Hey, guys, don't you remember this? We were doing this 3 years ago. This is for the birds. We're out here all night fishing. We've caught nothing. I wonder if they did what I often do when I go fishing, and that is I pray a lot because of these stories, because I believe God knows where the fish are. I'll tell you a story. I bought a boat, little 12-footer, to take my grandsons fishing. So Sawyer was the first grandson I took fishing. Here's what happened. I'm driving west of Spokane. You know where that new Amazon building is? If you don't, you've never been to Spokane. You can't miss it. It's so huge. I'm driving along pulling my boat. And, you know, you don't look in the rearview mirror that often, but I just happened to look up as my cooler went flying out right at that Amazon building. And there was a life jacket inside the cooler, and it hit the motor, and the wind held it against the motor. You know, and I pull over, and I get that out, and then I run in front of the Amazon, climb over a barbed wire fence, and about get caught in that. And I'm thinking, oh, great, my grandson has to pull me out of a barbed wire fence, you know. So we get out to the lake, and I put the boat in the water. We got up early in the morning, because if you're going to fish, you don't fish in the middle of the day. Right? Kind of like these guys, they fished all night. I got up early in the morning. We go and we get out there and I start up this boat, start it up. I take off and I get about 150 yards and guess what happens? The motor overheats. If you know anything about outboard motors, which I didn't know anything about, they got a little plastic propeller that shoots water up that cools the motor. But if it's been sitting a long time, that plastic gets brittle and so it didn't cool the motor. So I fried the motor. So anyway, it's gonna stop. Well, then, hey, I'm okay. I still got oars and I got a little electric motor. So I knew where I wanted to go on the lake because my buddy had taken me. He knew right where the fish were. Wasn't that far away. I said, I'll just row over. How many of you have rowed a boat? I have all my life, many times. But all the boats I've rowed have the oars that are locked in. This one had the ones that you can slide and they just in a hole, you know. Well, I forgot that and let go. There goes my oar. My grandson, I'm sitting here going, well, I wonder what he's thinking. You know? So luckily I had the electric motor. So I retrieved the oar. We got out to the spot. We had been there just a few minutes, and guess what my grandson said? Papa, I want to go home. I was planning on fishing till noon. What are you going to do, grandparents? You're going, I don't want it to be a bad experience. I want him to go with me again, right? So here's what I did. I said, oh, Sawyer, just 15 more minutes, okay? That's all, just 15. Pastor, I held it to 15. And just 15 more minutes. And you know what I did after that? I prayed like I've never prayed. Lord, help him catch a fish. He caught a fish. So I believe in prayer and fishing. But there's been other times I've prayed and it hasn't happened. But I'm thankful God heard my prayer that time and he caught a fish. But these guys, I wonder what they were talking about in the boat and what's going on. And they come in and they haven't caught anything. And so you'll find Then early the next morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but they did not know it was Jesus. Then he said to them, "Friends, did you catch any fish?" Hey, if you're a fisherman and you're out fishing, you ask other guys, "Have you caught anything?" That's very common, right? One of the translations says he called them children. I don't know if someone said, "Hey, children, have you caught anything?" I don't know if I'd listen. So I like the Friends translation better. But anyway, they said what? "No." And he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they listened and they did it. And I'm going, has the light come on yet? Has the light come on 3 years ago all night? Throw it on the right side. Is the light going to come on? And so they did. And they caught so many fish, they could not pull them back into the boat. The difference here is the nets don't break. The difference here is you go on the story, the follower who Jesus loved, that's who? John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." One guy figured it all out. You remember I said 50 years ago, I filled the bottom of a boat with perch, and I remember it. These guys, 3 years later, are not remembering that we were out all night and someone said the other side, John remembered. And when Peter heard him say this, he wrapped his coat around himself and he ran to shore. Now, just think about this whole setting and what's just occurred. 3 years ago, same setting. In both cases, what would have happened if they had not listened to Jesus? No fish. What about you and I? What are the things that Jesus says to us that we don't hear, and so we don't experience fish in our life? We're left still fishing, still discouraged. Now, here's what's interesting to me. I remember when I showed up in Long Beach, California, I shared with students this passage that I'm going to read now. Who is the main character in the rest of the story? Peter. And here's the time. This is the time. You remember what Peter said in front of all of the disciples? "Hey, they may all abandon you, but listen, I'm the man. I'll never." And guess what? He denied him what? Three times. And then you go to this passage and you continue on. And we have the story where the first time Jesus has a personal encounter with Peter in the presence of the other disciples. And here's where it picks up in Jesus. It picks up, let's pick it up in verse 10. Jesus says, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." And it talks about he had a fire. There was 153. It's interesting to me that they counted the fish. And they make note of the fact that they were not small fish. They were big. And Jesus said, "Come and eat." And then he has this encounter starting in verse 15 with Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now, I have thought for a long time, and then you know the rest of the story. What is it? He asked him how many times? Three. How many times did he deny Christ? Three. And he gives him, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs," and then "feed my sheep. Go minister sheep," being the body of Christ. But here's what I want to ask you. What did it mean when he said, "You love me more than what? These." You know what I thought for the longest time, and when I shared this message some 40 years ago, you know what I thought the "these" was, and I always said it was? The other disciples. Do you love me more than these other guys that at one time you told them, you know what? They may deny you, but not me. And that's what I always thought the these was. But you know what I think the these is today? I think it's the fish. Peter, I spent 3 years going out and showing you what you could do, what the joy is every day besides sitting in a boat, and you go back to your boat. You go back to fishing. I said, follow me. You'll be catching men. And you went back to your boat. So when I think of this story, I think of you and I. I think, are there things in our life that God says, what are the what ifs? How many times we have not experienced all that God wanted us to experience because we chose to what? Go back to our fishing. Go back to our comfort. But what does God have for us? So my challenge and my thought this morning is, what if? Now, what was the first thing in the world that I asked you to do this morning? What did you pick for an appliance?
I picked a refrigerator.
Good, smart man. That has a lot to do with the kitchen. What'd you pick? A mixer, just like my wife. You mix it up. There are so many things in a kitchen that make a kitchen effective. Think about it. I love Belgian waffles. Try making those in a refrigerator. Doesn't work too well, does it? Leftovers. Okay. You know, I'll bet if I went into your kitchen, it's made up of so many different appliances. I think it's a picture of the body of Christ. God has made us all uniquely different. We're not all mixers. We're not all refrigerators. We all don't make coffee. Sometimes we look around at someone that makes the best coffee and we go, man, I wish I could be like that person. A lot of times, may I say, that we expect our pastor to be everything that's in the kitchen, and he's not. So what I want to ask you is, how many people, the what ifs, is because they don't understand first and foremost who God's made them to be? Second of all, they forget one thing that all of us need. What is it that all appliances need? Power. The power is the Holy Spirit, and unless we plug into that power source, we're not going to hear the voice of God. We're not going to be able to catch the fish. We're just going to be an appliance that sits on the shelf and sits there. But you know, when we start listening to the Holy Spirit, his voice, and when God says, follow me, the blessings flow out of that. I am so grateful that 37 years ago, when my dad called me and said, will you consider coming to the mission? It was the furthest thing from my mind. But God began to show me some things in the scripture about his heart for the poor. And he did some things that he called me out. And what I want to do is I want to take a minute in closing and just share with you that the joy has been the things, the miracles that I get to see all the time. The fish that I get to see caught. I think there's nothing more exciting than a fisherman when he catches fish. Nothing more exciting for me than when someone comes to know Christ and a life has been set free and changed. If I can have them bring up on the screen, I just want to show you some of the joys that I have received. Now, I don't want to imply that in the last 37 years, everything I've done, I've heard the voice of God, and I've been obedient, and I've done it. I haven't always. But I will say, when I look back, I am sure glad that 37 years ago, I listened and I followed. Had I not, I would have never experienced all the miracles that God has done at the Union Gospel Mission. What is God calling you to not look back and do? This is Helen. That picture there represents her. And you know what she was called in Coeur d'Alene? The bag woman. Everyone saw her all around town pushing her cart. What was she? An alcoholic. What does alcohol do to some people? It destroys their life. it had destroyed Helen's life. Guess what? She chose to come into our program. Went through our program, found Jesus, and this next picture tells you where she's at today. That's Helen today. She is plugged into a church. She has a job. She has been clean and sober 8 years. That's a great big fish. This next picture is of a young man, Tyler, on his 21st birthday. Look at him. 21 years old. And you know what's controlling his life right there in that picture? Drugs, meth. Totally destroyed him. And you just look at his face. There's no joy. There's no hope. It's like, what's this? 21 years old. He comes to the mission. He finds Jesus. And guess what? Next picture. Guess what he's doing today? He works for us. He works in our rescue. God totally transformed his life. A changed person. What if I had never responded to the call? I wouldn't have the joy of seeing Helen's, Tyler's, and here's the last one, Naomi. Naomi shows up at Anna Ogden Hall, and just look at her face. What do you see? Why does she shave her head? Naomi lost her two daughters. She was angry at God, angry at everyone. She was angry at men, too, because her hair says a statement, stay away. But in the process of coming, I remember they told me stories about Naomi, how she would do the craziest things because she wanted the staff to just kind of push her away. But when they continued to love and God's love broke through, it changed her. This is Naomi. This picture here, the next picture, she got her two daughters back. And guess what? She has been working for countless years at another mission in Oregon as a counselor. Again, it's the joy of seeing God, what? Transform a life. So I just want you to know, many of you in this church have been faithful. You've been obedient to support the work that we're doing. That's part of one of those appliances that's needed in the work of God's kingdom. But today, I hope this message too is something about that you leave asking yourself this question. What if? What if there's something out there God's asking me to do or challenging me to do and I don't hear it? What am I going to miss out? Will I just be in the boat fishing all night? My parents, at age 50-some, after career and education, running a grocery store, responded to God's call to come to the mission in their 50s. I probably wouldn't be here today if it wouldn't have been for their obedience. I don't know what God says to you, whatever age or where you're at, but what is it that he has for you? And I hope that you'll just, when he does, catch the fish that he has for you. Because I believe, like Nathaniel, he knows you. Like Philip, he calls you. Shall we close in prayer? Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for stories that were written thousands of years ago. And yet you're the same God today, yesterday, and every day. And today you're calling us with those same two words, follow me. And I'm reminded that you want us to catch fish. You want us to impact people and the lives of those that you bring into our path. God, give us the heart, the desire to say, I will follow. And God, thank you in our obedience that you bless us with so many great things. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the faithfulness of this church, the people in it. May you use them to be salt and light in this community and where you've placed them. And to you be the honor and the glory. Amen.